I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer can she live? As we turn our backs and turn our eyes and pretend we don't see, if ignorance is bliss, then full of bliss are we.
Good morning and welcome to Eco Talk. And if you have too much stuff in your life and not enough time to live your life, well, this show's for you. We're going to be interviewing John DeGraff, one of my favorite people. He, of course, is the producer of a documentary called Affluenza and Escape from Affluenza. Also, the author of several books, including one we're going to be talking about today, Take Back Your Time Day. And we're going to be talking about that event scheduled for next October. It's not too soon to start planning for an event in your community or just to start thinking about some of these issues that are kind of predominating our life. And in our second half, we're going to be talking to Joel McEwen. He is the director of a new documentary, it's not even out yet, called The Pursuit of Happiness, and that also takes on the big issue of consumption. In fact, John DeGraff is in that movie, so kind of have a thread here today. It's really one of the core issues of our environmental challenge is both consumption and population. We'll talk about population another day, but certainly here in America, we do have a bit of a consumption challenge. So without further delay, let's welcome John DeGraff.
Hi there.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Betsy.
I heard you speak. Well, I've heard you speak several times and have interviewed you before, but you were speaking at Bioneers out in Marin County last October, and I remember taking a lot of notes and laughing really hard and thinking, yes, yes, yes. What you said really resonated, not just with me, but I could tell from the applause around the auditorium that you're onto something. What made you write this book?
Well, I didn't write the book, Take Back Your Time, but I did edit it, and about 30 people
brought together a bunch of stories, yeah.
The various chapters. You know, I've been just thinking for a long time that we've been awfully focused in this society on progress in a material sense, and in the meantime, we've given up something that seems to me tremendously important to all of our lives, and that's the time to live them. I think we have a horrible problem of time poverty in America. And what I remember back in the 1960s when I was a sociology student hearing that by the year 2000 we'd have a problem on our hands of too much leisure time, and with all the automation we'd be working 20 hours a week and with productivity advances. And in fact, much of that could have been true, but what happened was we've taken all of the gains in productivity in the form of more money and more stuff, and none of them in the form of more time. In fact, we're working longer now than we were back in the 1960s. Now, I think that has tremendous negative consequences for our health, our family life, our communities, and very much also the environment.
Wow. That's a mouthful, and you said it. And just last week, we talked about how there's a sense of time just speeding up, that there's almost a sense of being out of control with technology progressing, world events happening, not to mention what's happening with our political situation and values. Why does it seem things really are accelerating? I mean, I asked my husband, who's a little bit older than me, you know, is it my imagination? He says, no, it's definitely going faster. What is actually taking place?
Well, we are trying to do many, many more things in the same amount of time. We're producing things faster. That is, we have speed up in the workplace. And normally when we've had that in the past, when we've had these kinds of gains in productivity, we've also shortened working hours. So you may work harder and more active, but you get a little more break from it as well. And that hasn't happened now. So we've had speed up in the workplace and longer hours as well. And then we've filled up the rest of our lives outside of work with a tremendous amount of scheduled activities and things to the extent that we're really running ourselves and especially our children ragged. And that has a lot of consequences.
Yeah, overscheduling of children. We're certainly guilty of that. It is. And not to mention what the advent of electronics has done to our life in terms of, you know, everything's got to be returned instantly. Fax me back. Email me right away. As if you're just sitting in front of your computer all day. You know, people kind of get miffed if you don't respond within 24 hours.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we really are pushing this kind of overproduction mentality, I mean, of having to do more. You know, you get things that they send you out, these postcards. I got one from from Microsoft. He said that all it said on the front was "Do more." And I've been in stores, copy stores, where you look and they have a big poster up and it just says "Do more." And that seems to be the mantra in the United States. It's just "Do more." It doesn't even matter what it is, the quality of it, any of that. It's just "Do more and more." And we push this on our children to the extent that since the passage of the Child Left Behind legislation, we have about 20% of the school districts in the United States that have banned recess for elementary school kids. School district in Tacoma, Washington recently did that, and when asked why, the assistant superintendent of school said, "We must maximize instruction time to prepare the children to compete in the global economy." And this is the whole emphasis that, you know, we're turning kids into these super productive people with the results that it's causing all kinds of stress on us, on our kids, bad for our health, and I can go on this, but it is very, very bad for the environment.
Not to mention, I mean, you talk about kids being so active, but yet they're more obese than ever.
Oh yeah, because the activity is primarily in front of screens. It's primarily sitting at desks. It's that sort of thing. I mean, at the same time that the schools are eliminating recess, they're saying to the junk food companies, you know, come on in, sell us your Coke exclusive contracts, and do this and do that. It's led one pundit to suggest that we need a law that would guarantee recess for kids and kick out the junk food companies, and that law would be called the No Child Left with a Fat Behind Act.
I remember that. Funny, but kind of scary, too. You know, you also talked about how the only people prospering these days are dog walkers because people have pets they don't even have time to care for.
Well, yeah, even a dog's life isn't what it used to be in America today because we really have an epidemic of neglect and abandonment of animals. The humane societies will tell you this, caused by people just simply not having time for their animals and having to give them up. Now, in the more affluent parts of the country where people can afford it, they hire other people to walk their dogs. And so in certain communities, professional dog walking is the fastest growing business.
You know, I was cleaning out my daughter's fish tank. She's only 10. Of course, she swore she was going to take care of the fish. And that's why we got a fish and not a dog or a cat because I knew this would happen.
A little easier,
and
yeah.
There I was scrubbing the tank and changing the water and adding the drops. And it took me 45 minutes. I told my husband it'll just be 10 minutes. Well, the whole time I was thinking, I don't have time for this. And I was asking my daughter, do you really like these fish that much? Is this really worth it? What can I do if I don't want these fish? I'm not going to flush them down the toilet. Do I take them back to the pet store? What am I going to do with these fish? And I was like a crazy woman. And this is supposed to be a pleasurable thing to have a family pet. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just, there's a sense where this has gotten out of control. And I'm not talking about a life in which we just kind of lay around and never do anything. But we're out of balance. We've got to bring back some balance in life. Some things are meant to be done quickly, but we also need time to spend particularly building relationships. This is just, it's absolutely essential in the field of public health these days that the most important thing that we can do for our health is to have good family relationships, good friendships, those kinds of things, and yet we don't have the time to make these things possible.
And time is one of my favorite topics just because it's so elusive. And as I said at the top, you've also been an expert on consumption. In the couple minutes we have before the break, because during the next segment we're going to talk about how to take back our time, what has happened since affluenza? Have things changed? Have they gotten worse?
Well, I think it's kind of a little bit of an up and down situation, but overall the direction is still in the direction of increased consumption. Now, we had a little lull right after September 11th, but of course the first thing that the president told us we should do as patriotic Americans after that tragic event was to go to the mall and shop. This was, get out there. We had a bill in Congress called the Let's Go Shopping Bill. It would eliminate taxes for that whole period in 2001.
0% financing on SUVs?
All of these kind of things on SUVs, sure. So, we're getting, more Hummers on the road and this sort of stuff. At the same time, I think there are increasing numbers of Americans who are starting to opt out of that and saying, wait, we want a life.
And that's the downward simplicity movement.
Yeah, the voluntary simplicity movement. And it goes beyond that. I mean, I think a lot of Americans thinking about that who don't in any sense consider themselves part of that movement.
Because we become a slave to our stuff. I mean, just taking care of it takes a long time.
It does. It takes time to earn the money to buy the stuff, to maintain the stuff, and then a lot of it, you know, ends up in storage. So we have among the fastest growing businesses in America, maybe not as fast as the professional dog walking. One of the fastest is commercial self-storage facilities, because we don't have enough room in our much larger houses with our much smaller families to handle the stuff. And, I've talked to people who had four garages. Literally, they had four garages, and when I asked them, why do you have four garages? They said, for storage. They had all of their cars and boats and everything out on the street, and the garages were just full of stuff. And they said, yeah, you gotta have four, you can never have enough garages because you can never have enough storage.
Well, we've got to take a commercial break, John. We'll be right back. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we are in conversation with John DeGraff, who is the co-author of the best-selling Affluenza, The All-Consuming Epidemic, that also was turned into a PBS documentary, and there was a sequel to that, Escape from Affluenza, and his most recent project is editing a book called Take Back Your Time Day, and that is an annual event scheduled for October the 24th, so folks listening have about 6 months to plan an event where they live. I think only after Affluenza did a title like Take Back Your Time Day grab me as much. You know, it's just like, yes, this is the crux of the problem here. So what made you take on time?
Well, I thought it was an issue that was really being neglected by progressives in our society today. It's very interesting to me that so many pollsters and studies can come up, continually get the result that among the things Americans need most and suffer most from is time or lack of time. Frank Luntz, for example, George Bush's pollster, has stated that in his focus groups and his polling results, free time. Lack of time is the number one issue for women in America, and it's high on the list for men. Other studies have shown the same thing. So a recent study of Hispanic and black families in America, when asked the number one thing that was most important to them, they said it was to have more time to spend with their children. And yet progressives, unfortunately, I believe, have never addressed this issue at all. We just simply don't talk about it.
You know, go ahead.
And this is not true in Europe, where, in fact, the discussion about time and about shorter work time and quality of life is just huge on the progressive agenda.
Strangely, the one person who seems to have a lot of time is George Bush. I often wonder, how does he have time to work out every day? I don't. How does he have time to go on all these vacations? I don't. What am I doing wrong? Or probably, what is he doing wrong?
Yeah, and of course, you know, our response to that, both Michael Moore's response and John Kerry's response, was to say, you know, attack President Bush for taking vacation. What they should have said instead was, hey, all Americans ought to have the right to take a vacation.
Yeah, we don't all have incomes like that.
Yeah, but we all ought to get that. I mean, you cannot join the European Union, for example, without guaranteeing every single worker in your society a full 4 weeks paid vacation after 1 year on the job. That's just the rule. Every other industrial country in the world has laws guaranteeing paid vacation. We are the odd society out on that, and it's an issue that progressives should be talking about. After all, the labor movement in the United States in the early 1900s campaigned for what they called, they said, we want bread and roses too. And the bread was about wages, but the roses was about time to smell the roses, time for art, for love, for beauty, for learning, for all of those things, at a time when they were much poorer than they are today. Well, now it seems to me that we've got bread and butter unionism that's just about the wages, and the whole roses side of it has been been forgotten, and we've got to bring that back as progressives, I think.
Well, actually, I agree with you, but, you know, you say progressives should talk about this. Progressives don't have time to talk about this because our government's giving us so many things to be active about. And I'm joking about that, but...
That's true, but we cannot...
We can't burn out.
If we have to succeed as a movement, we cannot simply play tourniquet politics. We cannot say, we're going to stop this, stop that, stop the bleeding here, stop the bleeding there. We have got to advance some kind of positive vision, and part of that positive vision, in my mind, is what we call a time to care agenda. It's a 6-point program that the Take Back Your Time campaign has put forward. We're at timeday.org is our website, and the 6 things that we're calling for as national legislative policy include paid family leave at childbirth and to take care of sick family members, paid sick leave, 3 weeks paid vacation, a limit on the amount of compulsory overtime that employers can require, some kind of parity for part-time workers so that people can choose part-time work and keep their hourly wage and prorate their benefits, and finally making Election Day a holiday to understand that we really need time for political life in this country.
Yeah, we need to think about who we're voting for a little bit more carefully. So tell us about the significance of designating a particular day, October 24th, as Take Back Your Time Day.
Well, we did that because we understood the importance and the significance of Earth Day, frankly. We knew that within the first 3 years after that huge outpouring of concern about the environment in 1970, we had the passage of all the most significant environmental legislation in U.S. history. We had the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Environmental Protection Act, the Endangered Species Act. All of those laws signed into law by a conservative Republican president, Richard Nixon, who would not have been likely to do that without this groundswell of public opinion. So we felt if Earth Day can do that, what about a time day, calling attention to our time poverty crisis in America? And we set the date at October 24th because it falls 9 weeks before the end of the year and symbolizes the fact that we Americans work 9 full weeks, about 350 hours more each year than the average Western European does. We also found out later that October 24th is actually the anniversary of that day in 1940 when the U.S. got the 40-hour work week.
Well, I think you're onto something, John. We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
So tell people where they can go to plan their own Take Back Your Time Day event.
Well, please come to our website at www.timeday.org. You'll find lots of materials. Do sign up for our email list. We won't burden you, and we won't give out your name to anybody else, but you'll get some updates on the movement. We think we can make some progress. We hope you'll join us now because there's no present like the time.
John, we're out of time. Thanks for being with us. John DeGraff, he is author, editor, and activist, and writes a humorous critique of American consumerism as well as our problems with time.